What's up? This is Brent from Burgundy Blog. I'm on Twitter at Burgundy Blog. It's week 15 of the NFL season. Today is Sunday, December 17th in the 10 p.m. hour. And earlier this evening, your Washington Commanders lost 28-20 to the LA Rams at SoFi Stadium, dropping their record to 4-10. Finally, officially, mercifully eliminating them from mathematical playoff contention, having, of course, been previously eliminated from realistic playoff contention roughly in October. With the exception of some unexpected quarterback dynamics in the fourth quarter here, I'd say this one played out pretty much exactly as expected, with the Commanders digging themselves a 3-touchdown hole from which they could not climb out. You might ask me why I'm even still doing blogcasts with now only 3 games remaining in this godforsaken season. And to that, my honest answer would be, I don't know. Let's see, quick opening segment here. Let's go with a little good game, bad game, or stock up, stock down kind of thing for a few standout individuals. Stock up for Terry McLaurin. Nice to finally see him break a hondo. In fact, he got on 6 catches, I think 140-some yards, plus a touch. Most of that, of course, coming from Brissett at the end. Definitely several awesome plays by him in this game, though. Plus the deep one that they overturned. That was pretty close to being one of the nastiest catches I've ever seen. While he got clearly interfered with, alas, he could not and did not quite hold on. Anyway, nice to be reminded that he can, in fact, still make some magic. Stock still going up for Curtis Samuel, who's had a really good, solid, consistent, and impactful season with 2 more touchdowns for him. Stock up for Jacoby Brissett. Obviously, I'll get to him in a minute. A nice game for Daron Payne, who has drawn much criticism from me this season, but I thought his presence was felt throughout. Also, stock up for Kalik Hudson, who I believe technically got the start in relief of Jamin Davis, who, of course, went on IR. Hudson led the team in tackles, including a few flashy ones. Bad game, of course, for Sam Howell. I will elaborate further. Overall, through 3.5 quarters at least, bad game really for the whole Commanders offense and for the Eric Bieniemy future head coach resume building experiment. Because until Brissett came in and did give a spark, basically in garbage time, this Washington offense was bad again in this one and has been bad for a month. Thought it was another pretty uninspired outing from the Commanders offensive line. I don't recall exactly how many sacks were allowed, but it wasn't so much that. They just had a hard time getting anything going on the ground as usual. And it did feel again like Howell was under a lot of pressure, which I'm sure contributed to his multiple batted passes, which is of course a troubling pattern with him. I'm going to go with a stock down on 2 more defensive backs. Emmanuel Forbes and his return from injury. He looked pretty beatable and did give up a touchdown. Also, Percy Butler, although I think he forced one of the Kyren Williams fumbles, yet again was involved with a disastrous coverage breakdown, permitting an explosive touchdown pass. This one was to Cooper Kupp. He's been playing a lot since Derek Forrest got hurt, and I know he's a super athlete, but I am not sure this guy should be playing so much NFL football. He seems to be at the scene of the crime for a murder almost every week. Oh, I skipped over Benjamin St. Juice. He actually was pretty good in this one. He definitely stood out in a good way a few times, so kudos to him for not completely folding in a bad year. Okay, Sam Howell obviously struggled. Before getting benched halfway through the fourth quarter, he was 11 of 26 for 102. 1-1. And I do think the eye test was as unkind to him as the box score. He was inaccurate in this one. I thought he took several poorly calculated risks. Looked like he almost got McLaurin beheaded by poor placement on a ball over the middle. His interception was actually tipped up by McLaurin, but it was a bad pass and did deserve the INT. As usual, he had a couple other passes that were not picked off but easily could have been. It just really seemed like he was pressing. And I guess I'll say partially in his defense that it does not seem surprising that somebody in his position might be pressing. I mean, every week he knows he's going to have to force the issue and make some special plays on his own, because Howell creating things has basically been the only way that the Commanders have produced big plays all year. And so, of course, he also knows that his defense is going to give up 30 a game. So if he wants to win, and I believe he badly does, I'm sure he feels like he can't just be this safe game manager. Nonetheless, bad game for him. It's weird that he got benched, in the sense that Rivera has, of course, said publicly 1,000 times that basically this whole season is just about Howell's development and growth. But at the same time, it's not exactly undeserved or unjustified that he got benched, because he was playing bad enough to earn it. And also, yeah, down 3 touchdowns at the time of the switch. The Rams defense obviously was going to just be pinning its ears back, which is officially the reason that I guess Rivera gave in the postgame presser for making that decision. Rivera said he just wanted to protect Howell. But certainly pulling him to protect him absolutely does put a spotlight on the fact that Howell was pretty bad. Now, it's been roughly a month, I think, since I said on this podcast that I had already seen enough to feel comfortable with a potential eventual decision by the incoming Commanders administration to rely on Howell as a starter for 2024, or at least to rely on him as plan A going into the season. And then, of course, just about immediately after I said that, Howell commenced his worst 3-game stretch of football of his career and has tried his best to make my declaration seem premature or downright incorrect. That being said, I stand by my logic from that time, which is to say, even though he's slumping now, Sam Howell has certainly shown me enough ability and proven enough ceiling to make it reasonable, even if not obvious, even if not clearly advantageous, but reasonable for him to get another shot at starting a season. I still love his attitude. I still love his guts. I still love his toughness. I still love his arm. I still love his mobility. And I really don't see this recent stretch as major regression. I just think it's been so-so and reason enough to pause and to recalibrate and to acknowledge that he has not yet slammed the door on any alternative. I think he had an opportunity here to do that, but he hasn't done it. And I'm not sure that 3 more games, even if he does get to start them all, and absolutely he certainly still should, given health, but I'm not sure that 3 more games, even if he's absolutely lights out, is going to be enough to slam that door at this point. In fact, right now, if I had to guess, I'd say that the new GM and his incoming scouting staff, if indeed they have a top 5 pick at their disposal, probably is more likely to go QB hunting. Now, Brissett looked good. Of course, he comes in only 8 minutes, he throws 2 touchdowns, throws for a bunch of yards, wakes up Terry McLaurin. But I hope everyone will stop short of assuming from this that if Brissett had been the starter all year, the team would be in such a better place. Come on, that's not realistic. First of all, we had to see Howell. We had to find out about Howell. The jury's still not even out, and most of what Howell has done has been good. Brissett came in, guns blazing, Rams defense definitely affected by the game script. Brissett took advantage, and good for him, but that's just a blip. That little cameo certainly does not mean that he's clearly better than Howell right now, or that he should have been the guy all along, or that he's definitely some high-class NFL starter. That stuff's not true. I mean, come on, Brissett just came in and did a nice job in relief. He's a professional. Good for him. The Commanders, it now seems clear, are, in about 3 weeks, going to enter an offseason with a quarterback in Sam Howell who has intriguing potential and 2 years left on a rookie contract, but, inevitably, still a question at the quarterback position. It is an answer that any team must have to be a legitimate, credible contender, and they don't have it yet. They still have a question. As I said earlier, I think even if Howell goes on an extreme heater against the Jets, 49ers, and Cowboys, I think the team is still going to be entering the season with a question. Furthermore, pending these last three results, they might have, and I think they probably will have, a top five pick in a draft featuring up to a half dozen potentially worthy first-round quarterback prospects, and in Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Heisman winner Jaden Daniels, possibly three who are worthy of the top five. Probably none of that is news to you, but I want to put a fine point on an awkward fact. When you are drafting in the top 10, and even more so in the top 5, and you still have a question at quarterback, and you are entering a draft in which potentially three prospects are widely viewed as worthy of going in the top 5, three quarterbacks, I mean, then at the risk of stating the obvious, every one slot difference in draft position is monumentally valuable and important. In other words, the respective differences between 2 and 3, or 3 and 4, or 4 and 5, and obviously between 5 and then 7 or 8, which will come into play if they stupidly win another game, for example, next week against the Jets, which I'm afraid to say is entirely possible. But again, under these circumstances, every one slot difference in draft position in the top 5 is outrageously important. With Williams and May and Daniels out there, and furthermore, with Marvin Harrison Jr. viewed as can't miss, and with the tackle, Olu Fashanu, also viewed by some as can't miss, the amount of draft capital it would take the Commanders to move up one slot, say from 4 to 3, or up two slots from 4 to 2, or even up to 1, and conversely, the amount of draft capital potentially available to them if they're willing to trade back a slot or two from, say, 2 to 4. We are talking major franchise-changing bounty there, like multiple firsts potentially for just one slot up in that stratosphere. Numerous teams are going to be frothing and salivating for those quarterbacks, and the natural advantage of being high enough to reach one of them without having to trade, or even if you don't want one, of being in position to draft one so that you can trade out. I mean, here's the point. It is just mandatory. It is so important that the Commanders not win another one of their three remaining games. Now, the Jets are a problem. They got eliminated today. They have no quarterback. They're probably not going to bring back Rodgers since their season's over. They look like canned ass today against the Dolphins. I'm definitely worried that the Commanders could accidentally beat the Jets. I think San Fran will destroy them. And then I think Dallas, of course, should also, but that's week 18. You never know what they're going to be playing for. I mean, we just saw this last year. Anything could happen there. So I would encourage you, even though it's the holidays, and even though the team is 4-10, do not check out on these last few. These are massively important. The Commanders have got to lose these games. In my opinion, 4 is the magic number. They got to stay in the top 4. I know some people want to believe the tackle, Fashanu, is like Hall of Fame material. But in my opinion, it boils down to Williams, May, Harrison, who literally everyone agrees on, and Jaden Daniels. If you're in the top 4, you're either getting one of them, or you're getting the kind of haul in return that can turbo boost a rebuild. So, with that in mind, we have an absolutely massive game next week against the pathetic Jets. Let's take care of business.